Welcome to Across the Desk, where we discuss entrepreneurship, small business, and everything in between.
Can't stop laughing.
This is a good way to kick off. So this is how we're kicking off. So good morning, everybody, and welcome to Across the Desk. Karen's just composing herself. Namaste. And I'm going to welcome my guest, Karen. And there's a point to me not saying her last name because I don't want to do it wrong. And being the previous owner, semi-proud owner, who was saddled with an unusual last name, I got very lucky in marrying somebody where they can't muck it up too much. However, Karen went down instead of up in the whole name swap situation, so we're going to hold on to that little nugget for a second. But Karen is the star of makingthebacon.com, which is a blogging website that teaches people all about social media and blogging. And I'm going to read a little ditty, and then I'm going to actually let her speak. So, we are living in a digital world, and I am your digital girl, which of course for most people then conjures up Marilyn Monroe and what have you, or not Marilyn, Madonna. My mission is to help small business owners like you who are passionate about their business and want to learn more about how blogging, branding, and social media can not, oh, you did use the word, increase your online visibility and power you to devise a digital game plan, drive more traffic back to your site versus just a static website. And we had a whole thing on Empower. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay! And we've decided that she's not going to throw up from nerves, so we're good. which is awesome. But so we talked a little bit about your last name, and I loved what you had to say before about the amazing thing about it being so unique. So tell everybody.
Okay. So if you don't know, my maiden last name actually was Yap. So Y-A-P, you can't go wrong. I guess the only way you could go wrong is adding in that extra P, but it was so easy to spell. I think even when I would talk to people on the phone, I would say Yap, and they're like, Yap? And I'm like, yes, Y-A-P. For some reason, I would automatically just spell it. So one of the downsides of having a common Asian last name is basically when I Googled myself, because everyone Googles themselves, right? Mm-hmm. There's got to be at least a million people with the same, you know, first name and last name. So, you know, Bob Smith, Karen Yap, yeah, all over Asia. And I figured, you know, by taking on my husband's last name, there aren't that many out there. And I do understand it is quite difficult to spell because there are no
vowels. Spell it for the folks so that they can see that I'm not being a baby.
For everyone who has no idea how to spell my last name, it's S-W-Y-S-Z-C-Z. And I'll be honest, there's been times when I've actually misspelled it when I've been typing in my email address and then, you know, sending an email, or like it bounced back, or for some reason it's not sending. I'm like, what? Oh crap, I forgot an S, I forgot a C, I forgot something.
Well, whoever created the name forgot a vowel, which is, you know.
I know.
You wanted to be on Jeopardy, so, you know, that whole spell of whatever thingy.
So, yeah, having my husband's last name, it definitely makes me more searchable if you can
figure it out.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is that the way you've branded, you know, making the bacon, other than, so here's a little ditty that if you leave out the and you just do making bacon, you end up accessing this really cool site about this thing where you can hang your bacon on it and microwave it. I know, which, you know, win-win.
Yeah, she's awesome. I think she like invented that, you know, contraption when she was like 10.
Cool deal. I don't microwave my bacon. But if you need to microwave your bacon, then you can look up Karen making bacon, and then you're going to get a win-win because you'll learn more about how to, you know, blog and social media and cook your bacon better.
Yeah, because I use paper towels, so.
We use the frying pan. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today. So one of the cool things, one of the many cool things that you offer is, I run into the same thing I think that you do, where you're talking to people about blogging, and there's all these misconceptions and myths, and it either runs the gamut of, you know, it's too much work and it's just so much work to do a blog, and oh my God, I'm never going to be able to manage it, to, well, only people who are foodies and fashion people do blogging, to, well, only people who are, you know, 21, no serious business owner would ever do a blog. And it's such a misconception. And we started chatting about that before. So I would love to jump into that a little bit, but I have to ask you a question first.
Sure.
I totally forgot this important question. What did you want to do when you were growing up?
Oh, I wanted
some really cool answers.
wanted to do a lot of things. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to help save the planet. David Suzuki, just like David
was just
Suzuki,
here.
Apparently was just here, and I missed him. Like Pokeroo, have to get on it again. start, you know, being more in tune of where his whereabouts are. And I didn't travel too, well, I traveled a little bit within North America as a kid, but I think at a young age, I was really obsessed with traveling. I would read books on other cultures. So I wanted to also be a work for an embassy, be a diplomat, and, you know, help with world relations. And I also wanted to be on Jeopardy. I was that weirdo who would, you know, scream at the contestants when they got it wrong.
I'd be like, what are you thinking?
Like, how can you not know what this is? And especially, I think, with when it came to pop culture, I'm like, how did you not know, you know, who knew Kids on the Block were?
Wow. See? But those are probably the people who are now running multi-million dollar corporations. So maybe they had a point. You know? Ask me any question about just about any movie, and I have an odd ability to recall the most mundane details that people will be, yeah, they're like, how do you keep all that? I'm like, because every time I remember that, I push something important out.
yeah, I know, same hair.
So, you know, makes me fun at parties, but, you know, has a little challenge. So it was really interesting that you have all these very intellectually based, scientific based goals, and then you have morphed into this blogging high priestess.
Gave you this title.
Gotta have something. You know, if I call you that, you might get a crown. So, you know, don't make fun. Tiaras are always a good thing. So how did that happen? Like, where did you land after these decisions? Where did you start out? And then how did you transition to this role that you're doing now?
All right. It's a long story, but I know we have time to do it. So going back to when I was a kid, I was that kid who wrote a lot of poems, a lot of short stories, journals. I absolutely loved reading and writing. And when it came time to figure out what I wanted to get into in university, I actually decided to go into engineering instead because I had good grades in math and science. And I remember my OAC English teacher, she was actually surprised. She's like, oh, I thought you were going to go into something such as, you know, creative writing or journalism or English. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nope. I guess I was under the impression I felt I could have, my, you know, job prospects were better. And it turns out, and I didn't really like engineering that much. I wasn't doing very well. So I decided to switch, and rather than taking a year off and try to, you know, just figure shit out what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. I jumped into something out of, you know, panic based on, you know, like my parents, like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I'll get into science.
No pressure.
And it turns out I actually didn't even really like science either. To be honest, I found that I really hated working in a lab. I mean, I enjoyed, I guess, the analytical part, but I just felt I wasn't meant for working in the lab. So after that, I bounced around a lot of jobs. And then I ended up landing a job with the federal government in 2011. So at that time, while I was working for the government, I felt it was very, for lack of better words, ho-hum. And I felt I needed just a kind of creative outlet. So I just stumbled upon blogging. It was a kind of a passion project, but I wasn't really committed to it, as I know a lot of people were, you know, working the day job, but also blogging like a madman or madwoman. So
mad person, let's be gender
mad person. Okay. To be more politically correct. So yeah, it was a lot of back and forth, to be honest. And even when I first started, I was anonymous. I was afraid, I don't know, revealing myself and then, you know, people finding out I worked for the federal government as well. I don't know. I felt there would be.
No, that's wise though. So, I mean, that's actually a really good point to bring up. And part of this is also that you're a Good Life fitness instructor. Mm-hmm. So your original blog started out around that passion, was it not?
No. Well, In terms of coming up with names, I was trying to incorporate that. I think I thought about, you know, Frugal Fit Gal, Frugal and Fit, but for some reason Making the Bacon came into play, and I liked it because, you know, it rhymed and it stuck, and I feel, you know, people would remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to, you know, the blogging thing, yeah, I was anonymous for a few years, and then it wasn't until I think around when I just before I left my job with the government to work for a startup, I revealed myself, and then I felt once I was at this is me, I am making the bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I felt when I was working at the startup, it was kind of more an environment that embraced blogging. And like when I told them I had a blog, they were like, yeah, sure, as long as it doesn't interfere with your work, you know, feel free. Mm-hmm. Feel free to post. So yeah, it's funny going back to when I was a child, you know, and writing, I felt right now helping people, like teaching them how to blog for their business, I feel as if I've came back full circle. Because honestly, I never would have expected I'd be where I am today. I thought I was that person, you know, 25, 30 years, work for the government, get the pension, and you're good.
So, get it going. Yeah. And you know what? And I think part of that, I've done a lot of research on, and that's more a societal expectation, which is changing, thank God. But that's what you grew up with. That's what I grew up with. You know, my dad was, he worked in the tea and coffee industries. So he worked for Salada, and then he worked for Kellogg's. And then when he passed away when I was 20. So he was a, what was he? He was a vice president of something for a Holiday Inn company, which was a coffee and tea brokerage. So in his lifespan, he essentially had three jobs, maybe four, all within coffee and tea, all within or you know, food stuff or whatever. For Kellogg's, he was vice president of purchasing, so he was dealing with Redpath and whatever. But that was his career goal. That was his path, and he stuck on it. And it wasn't until, you know, towards the very end that he struck out and was eventually going to be a partner in this organization. But he definitely, you know, there was not a lot of zigging and zagging. There was maybe like a minor detour, whereas, you know, I've, like you, I've, you know, done everything from working in restaurant and retail to being a medical secretary for 10 years to teaching the program to then complete 180 and going to work for Girl Guides of Canada for 4.5 years as a volunteer support and unit support to then working in government for 1.5 years. And they will suck your brains out. I'm telling you.
It's like that saying, you know, the golden handcuffs, right?
So it's, I met amazing people who do incredible work when I worked for the government. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not backpedaling. I really did. And they're still a part of my network. I, however, am not built that way.
Yeah, same here. I realized that the hard way.
Yeah, and me too. And we were talking about, you know, WTF and it before we started recording. And it shows up on my face really fast, especially with stupid processes and too much constraint and rules and whatever. And that was kind of my deciding factor. I decided that if WTF showed up on my face when I was talking to somebody, that it would be on me and it wouldn't reflect back on the organization. And that was one thing that I just made a note of, that you made a really valid point that when you started, you had to be really concerned about it reflecting on your boss being the federal government. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that's maybe a fear factor that some people run into about blogging. You know, how do they do it without getting outed or having it conflict with their business?
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, they blog about things that don't conflict with their business. Because when I first started blogging, it was about personal finance. Mm-hmm. And the sector I worked in the federal government, it was food inspection. So those two paths never crossed. But just to, again, to, you know, cross my T's and dot my I's, yeah, I figured it was best to remain anonymous, even though, you know, I was talking about, like, why do people spend so much money at Costco? Like, you don't need to buy that much at Costco.
Well, you do because it's fun. And we were just there last night, but, you know. I have also gone back to Costco to take stuff back. And they'll say, why are you returning this? I'm like, it's an impulse purchase that I don't need. And the first time I said that to somebody, they were like, you're the first person to ever admit that. We know that that's why people return stuff, because they walk through here and get enticed and they're like, oh, I need 600, you know, slippers or something.
I know. I need 5 kilograms of Nutella.
That would actually kill me on 3 different levels. So it's never going in my shopping cart, but you know. But that's really, really true. That's a very valid point. And I'm wondering, like, you made the brave decision to find a way to take that first step and make it happen. And a lot of people allow that little roadblock to hold them back. So yeah. What's, you know, one of the things that Karen and I share, other than a love of swearing and other things, is which we're not going to do. We discuss the rules. Is we both love teaching.
Yeah.
And it took me a really long time. It was last year or the year before. Mike Edwards is somebody that I've met who is transitioning from. He's transitioning more into like a business life coach, and he did me. For lack of better language, he did me the honor of coaching me a little bit. And it was through an exercise that he took me through that I said, I'm here to be a teacher. It's what I'm born to do. It's what drives me. It's what I love. Here's the weird thing. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter who I'm teaching or what I'm teaching. But as long as I can help somebody past a block, as long as I can help them learn something, good to go. Good to go. And that's the really cool thing. So you've taken your years of experience in blogging, and now, you know, you're going and helping businesses figure out how they can get past those roadblocks. So if it's a perceived fear or an actual fear or the logistics or whatever it is. So tell me a little bit about that process. So when you meet with a company, sort of what do you go through when you're starting to work with them?
Well, at this point, I haven't met with companies. I'm focusing more on small business owners. So what I do, and I think it's important to actually learn about their business. So I have them fill out questionnaires to determine what their goals are, what's holding them back. And we do mainly kind of your video call sessions in mm-hmm. which I give them exercises that focus on their goals.
Oh, that's very cool.
And their roadblocks. So it's more of like a customized plan, because obviously, you know, no two small businesses are alike. So I try and make sure that it's tailored to what they do and what their goals are with respect to blogging. So, and then even with some clients, I've also reviewed their blog post just to kind of give them feedback.
I do the same thing.
You know, here's what you can do. You know, maybe try and add some links to certain posts, or you know, mention your services at the end as like a, you know,
a boilerplate or what have you at the end too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
so we touched briefly around some of the myths around blogging. So we'll touch on that for a little bit, because I think people put up these roadblocks.
Yeah, yeah.
To doing something. So tell me some of your favorite myths that people have shared with you.
There are a lot of myths. One of them, they feel they have nothing to write about.
I love
and
that
the,
one.
The thing is, though, I think if you're a small business owner, you have a lot to write about. I mean, not only can you tell your story, you can talk about behind the scenes of your business. You can talk about even myths that people have about your business, which is, I wrote a blog post about blogging myths. Another one is that they say like they hate to write. Like, I don't like writing. And like, I get it, because I don't like cooking. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, it's so stressful.
I can't talk anymore. I don't
know. Like, it's so stressful. All that prep work, meal planning, it is such a process. Cleanup.
Okay, that part sucks, but that's why you need to have kids.
See, like, I'm that person who would not want to host. Like, I dread hosting. My sister loves hosting, and she always hosts Thanksgiving. And then when I get voluntold to host, I was like, I'm getting hives. I'm breaking out of hives. I'm like getting into a panic attack. I was like, oh my God. I'm like, how do I
order in
appetizers, or, you know, what's that word? The charcuterie board.
Oh, see, now I love me some charcuterie.
It's like, cheese and crackers. Enjoy.
That's easy bones, man. You can do
that.
You can blog, you can do charcuterie.
Maybe I should blog about charcuterie.
You should. My fear, it could be my journey to get over my fear of charcuterie.
I help you get over the charcuterie overwhelm. What was that word we were talking about? It's overuse. I empower you.
Oh, please. I'm, you know, okay. Well,
okay. We'll keep that to a limit. So yeah. Going back to myths. Yeah. I don't know what to write about. I hate writing. And then, you know, there's always that option of getting other people to write for you, you know, to see.
Ooh, now there's caveats with that.
Yeah. I am very picky, actually, about who I get to write for me now. I mean, I get a lot of those mass emails saying, I can help you increase your SEO.
I'm sure
check
you
out
can.
This infographic about cats. I'm like, my blog isn't even about cats. Why are you sending me this? I'm actually allergic to cats, like very allergic. So I cannot accept this post.
Because I will have a hive reaction. But I had a client that I'm meeting with on Monday, and he talked, I think it was him, talked about having guest bloggers. And I immediately went, and he's like, why? And I said, because if you don't know, if you're struggling yourself with the proper way to blog, and if you're struggling with certain aspects around the strategy around blogging, then when you accept content, you know, and if you accept it without parameters and you accept it without editing rights and you accept it with all of those things, you're actually putting your business at risk.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So partnering with somebody on blogging, absolutely a great idea, because I mean, you know, Karen and I were just talking about it beforehand. I haven't blogged in forever because I'm always writing either for other people or I write the sound bites for my, for the podcast and whatever. And I worked with somebody and they would accept whatever content came their way. And yeah. And I was like, well, my usual response is no, 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 no. Because you are, if you look at the six principles of influence around selling, when you partner with somebody on blogging, which is essentially what you're doing, especially if you allow them to use your well-established platform and you send it out through your social media channels, you are lending your credibility to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you do that and you haven't checked the content and you haven't taken the time to really edit it or what have you. So if somebody, here's a funny, so somebody sent me on LinkedIn, I think it was somewhere, and it was a message, and they used you are instead of your, right? So they were using, yeah, see, your lips are doing the same thing that mine were doing, and right there, and he wanted to write for me. That was, I have great content. I'm
like, oh, yeah. I have bad grammar. I want to write a blog post for you.
Yeah. But if you are impaired, so as a business owner, if you're busy or you are impaired with communication skills yourself, that's a real hazard to talk about and to be aware of.
Very, very important. Yeah. I always establish parameters saying I have editing rights. I have the right to refuse it if I don't feel it's a good fit or your company is a good fit. Cause I always check, you know, the link, check their website. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, it's a huge, huge thing. And I love when companies do it, especially if you have reputable people to provide the content, but the buck doesn't stop there. If you're willing to put your reputation on the line, if you're willing to lend your social proof and credibility, if you are willing to allow that person to be an influencer of your brand, then you best have your ducks in a row and make sure that if you don't have the skills, that you have somebody on your team who does.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of those myths that I really work hard to dispel, that just partnering with somebody isn't an easy solution.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And one of the other things you mentioned, which was really important, was this misconception around what industries can use blogging and that there's an age limit on blogging.
I know, saying that only millennials can do it. I'm like, I'm not a millennial, even though a lot of people
look 12.
I look like one. And so I could pass her when I still get ID'd at the LCBO and beer store.
Yeah, I do not.
Yeah, I feel anybody can. And I mean, yeah, I don't understand why there's a misconception. Sure, I guess maybe it seems like there are a lot of millennials making money out of it, but
that's,
I
mean, their job.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing.
I mean, but like, that's the way, you know, the culture has shifted. But like, for us, you know, who grew up with, oh, we have to have that 9-to-5 job, work for 25-30 years, there's no rule, there's no age limit that says we can't blog, right?
Yeah, skill is skill.
Yes, exactly.
And sharing that expertise is just so huge. But making sure, this is going to, I'm going to overuse this word, just like empower. Two empower.
Two even count. A tally board.
Well, it was like, you know, the guy from Sesame Street, the count.
Oh, yeah.
I still watch that periodically. That's sad to admit.
I love Sesame Street.
Is that so good?
Yeah. Bert and Ernie. They're awesome.
Dudes. Oh, they're just, yeah. So, and Mr. Dress Up. And I'm really aging myself. Yeah. I'm 47. So I watched Mr. Dress Up until, I don't even want to tell you. Ernie Coombs was cool people.
Yeah, very cool.
I'm going to segue.
Amazing.
Pardon me?
Is tickle trunk?
I made my kids a tickle trunk.
You did?
I did.
Oh, you're an awesome mom.
Thank you. I totally did. I would go out and buy a ton of like leftover Halloween costumes and do whatever. And like kids would come over to our house and be like, oh, I'm like, I don't care what you do with it. Just make sure it all goes back in the bin. Have fun. I actually got to the CBC with my husband and Mr. Dress-Up's tree was there. Finnegan's and Casey's tree.
Oh, wow.
I totally fangirled. It was so sad.
You had a picture taken by it.
I was like, yeah. I totally geek out with stuff like that.
It's okay. Me too. I totally would do the same.
It's Mr. Dress-Up, for God's sake. So I totally lost my train of thought there. So we'll get back on to making the bacon, and I'm going to pull over to the website a bit because the segue just completely derailed it. We were talking about myths and millennials and age and all that good stuff. Expertise, that's what it was. As long as you have the expertise to properly share your expertise, and I'm not saying to be beholden to anybody. I'm a huge believer that for lack of better language, I'm like a therapist. My goal is to get you better and then get you self-sufficient. So in the short term, yes, pay me to use my knowledge and let me show you what you can do and what have you. But after that, I would rather teach you how to do it right so that you can take advantage of opportunities, so that you can be reactive and proactive and all of those things, than have you get in touch with me and say, hey, I need a blog post on X and da 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 da. That's not cool beans, man. I mean, if you need that, I'm totally on board with that. But if you're open to it, I would much rather teach you how to do it yourself.
Yeah.
And do it right. And if there's any question, my timer's about to go off, so I'm just going to pause that little puppy. Then you have the opportunity to meet professionals who can help you with that. Mm-hmm. And what, I'm just going to have a look at your, here we go. What's what you have here? I'm looking at your website. Sorry.
Okay.
Why work with me? Why should I work with you?
Because I'm funny. Because I'm hysterical. So the first thing I say is like, because I'm funny. It has nothing to do with my credentials.
I'm just good people.
I'm just fun. I don't know. I feel what I've been told is that, you know, I'm approachable, and how I've learned to blog and use social media was just basically through a lot of trial and error. And I do understand, like, you know, coming from a DIY perspective, anybody can do this. Like, anybody can make their own website. They can, you know, learn how to blog. But really, it's about the time. Like,
no,
what is
no,
time?
No, no, no.
Are you saying no? I didn't say they can do it well, but...
Okay, well, let's qualify that then, because...
But the God thing is, them. You know, do you want to... Because once you start searching, you go, you can actually dig yourself into a really, really deep, deep hole. And then, you know, 3 hours pass and you're just overwhelmed and you have multiple tab syndrome. Whereas, you know,
yeah.
Or kind of cut through the BS and tell you, you know, like, I've done that and I'm going to, you know, kind of save you some time and sanity. And here's what you can do instead. I'm not saying, you know, it's going to directly translate into, you know, $1 million sales, but it'll definitely help, you know, promote more awareness about your business.
Yeah. And that's actually another key point that people, another myth that I don't think gets talked about enough, is that people believe that if they blog, business will come and the quality of the blog doesn't matter. Huge. And it actually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll go the other way.
Suck my lips back in my face because it does matter. I was just talking to a colleague of mine today about helping somebody, and I can't find this guy online anywhere. Can't find him anywhere. And that's almost not as bad as going online and finding really crappy content, just written poorly, not following grammar and spelling, not getting to the point, not following the basic format. Those essay rules, people, that you learned in high school, those are the same basic rules for a blog. You have an introduction, you support the introduction, and then you wrap it up and you tie back into your introduction and a couple of your main points. So those people who are just dashing off these weird little ditties and they're like random and no ending and no wrap up and no format, it looks like poo. And when people read that, they judge it back on you. You're the author. You are providing that content. And if you can't even spell right, or if you're, God forbid, what are those things called? Like the LOL and what are those?
Abbreviations?
Acronyms?
Acronyms? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Acronyms.
You put out a blog post. I'm pointing my finger and I'm putting my mom face on. If you put out
a blog post. I may have put LOL though in some of my
LOL's early not so bad and I've done that.
But just a heads up.
Yeah. When it's you are instead of your or
oh, okay.
Those types of things, I am not going to take you seriously. I don't care what you do. At that point, crisscross applesauce, I'm out. Crisscross applesauce. So you are doing yourself more harm than good if you're putting crap out. I'd rather not find you at all and, you know, meet you or whatever than find crap. So that's my little crap talk there. It's craptastic. So what are we going to wrap up with? So we're going to wrap up with, why would somebody, like if they were coming to you, it's not just blogging that you do, right? You offer a variety of services. So we know that we should work with you because you're super smart, because I believe your degree is in biochemistry, is it not?
Yeah, which I am not using and is just hanging in my parents' family room.
but you had to have brains to get there, so that's awesome. Because there's also the misconception that blogging, you know, doesn't require any huge brain power, which is not true. So not only does she have a degree in biochemistry that's more decorative than functional.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
There you go. But you have those analytical skills. You have those research skills. You have all those positive things that came out of getting that degree that you can apply in a strategic perspective to people who are interested not only in blogging and improving their SEO and sharing their online expertise and building relationships, but then you also do social media strategy and training?
Yeah, I also help them, learn how to use social media for their business. Because I know everybody uses social media these days, personally. Even my parents, they have Facebook. My dad likes all my posts, which is really nice. But obviously, we know there's a different way to use social media for your business. I can go on and on. We can do a separate podcast episode, but there's also business accounts. And if you want to dive deeper, there's analytics for each of the platforms to see whether or not people are engaging with your posts. So I like to bring light to that.
And your 15-year-old niece does not know these things. So those people out there who are using their, oh, my teenage daughter is going to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah. And for those who have the misconception, oh, social media is a waste of time. You know, you're just whatever, scrolling and listening. Like, no, it's not.
It's a conversation.
If you're trying to use it for your business, there are strategies to it. There is a method to the madness. And I believe, using social media that way has helped me gain business and then also help promote my blog and my business.
Yeah, 100% agree. And that's, I think, one of the last myths that we'll touch on, because we've talked about blogging, which is incredible, and we've talked about how you can share your expertise and the impact that well-written and poorly written content can have on your business, because there is a difference. And it's just the same as starting up a social media account and never posting anything to it. You are better off never having set up the platform at all. And there are arguments that having a Facebook page and not doing anything with it will increase your SEO and whatever. First of all, no, because you're not putting anything on it. So, you know, there's no reason for Google to rank it or look at it or do anything with it. And second of all, if people land on that page and there's no content for them to engage with or get to know you with, you haven't completed the profile, you haven't taken advantage of all the little bits and pieces within a business Facebook page, then they are going to judge your sorry ass and find you wanting. And I don't care who you are. That's the facts. The other thing that businesses can sometimes find overwhelming is that there's so many choices out there for social media. And that fear block could be, I have to be on all of those.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you do not, and you should not. You do the strategy research and you figure out where your audience is already having the conversation. That's what you work towards. And you look at the resources that you have available, human-wise, money-wise, whatever. Okay, what's going to be the best choice for you? And it could be that LinkedIn is it. And you maximize the crap out of LinkedIn. It could be LinkedIn and Twitter is a good thing. Okay, then let's figure that out for you. If you have a highly visual business, then yes, Instagram and Facebook can be a good addition. But if your audience isn't there, you know, why waste the time? You know, so I work hard with businesses, as I'm sure you do, to dispel those myths and alleviate those fears that they might not even be able to verbalize, just because there's so much bad information out there or misinformation, and they haven't taken the time. They don't have the time. I shouldn't say that. That's not a judgment statement. If you're a business owner, Karen and I are business owners. We get it.
Yeah.
You run like a chicken with your ass on fire 24/7, right? And I've got kids on top of that, and a dog and a husband and all those ridiculous things that suck your brains out. We totally get it. You know, we're doing the exact same thing that you're doing. We're just doing it online. It's what we do. You make a really valid point here too, and we'll wrap up with part of this, is these days a website alone for your business is not enough. In order to be seen, you need to be producing informative, action-oriented content. Ooh, that's good. And to be promoting that content consistently. From building your blog to building your online presence to building business opportunities, my consulting services will help you lay out the foundation virtual brick by brick.
I know. Booyah. I was like, mic drop.
I got some girl in me. Actually, that reminds me of what's her face?
Who?
From Pitch.
Pitch?
Pitch. Pitch. Not the B word.
Yeah, it's Pitch. Perfect. The P word, Pitch.
Oh, yes. I thought you said I said that word wasn't coming up here.
Is it a movie? I don't watch movies.
Pitch Perfect.
Really. Okay. Anna Kendrick? Is that her?
No. I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. She's larger, blonde hair, British. Oh my Lord. Rebel Wilson.
Oh yeah, with the cool name. Yeah.
Yeah, and she does the.
Oh.
Anyway, so
I'm a word wizard.
I am not today. I've only had half a cup of coffee, so I'm more like a wizard in training. I don't know. So I think we're gonna sort of end on that myth busting note, which is awesome, and the knowledge that, I guess, what would be if you could impart one nugget.
Oh, this is where I'm gonna have my thinking eyes.
Thinking eyes.
Accessing the database. Hold on, loading.
I'm accessing my cerebral cortex. Loading.
Version 2.0.
But that's true all by itself. There's a lot of variety in versions for things. But if you can think of one thing that consistently comes up, and this isn't going to be the last time we talk because this was a lot of fun, but
yay.
If you could think of one thing that consistently comes up from people that you meet, what would you, right? What do you think that could be?
Can I do a two-parter? Like two things that stand out in my mind is really promote your posts, promote your content, you know, on your platform several times a day. I mean, and don't do it every, you know, 20 seconds. There is a strategy to it, but I mean, you know, you got to constantly get yourself out there, right? Because everybody's doing the exact same thing. Your competitors are doing it. It's the whole, you know, the internet is noisy. You need to be loud and heard.
Yeah. And they will not find you. I had somebody say to me, well, we thought if we put up a website or we put up a blog that people would find us. I'm like, why? Exactly. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have to do a lot of work. I find, you know, with respect to, I think, yeah, you I would say you spend more time promoting it, really, versus writing the content. And then also that, you know, content doesn't have to be blog posts. I mean, like what we're doing right now, podcast episode, you can, you know, turn it
podcast
into
blog and video.
Yeah, blog post and video. Oh, sorry, not blog post and video, podcast and video. I mean, there's so many ways to repurpose.
100%.
So.
Yeah,
and that's two good golden nuggets.
And that's, I was at a conference last week on community building, and it in itself was a terrific conference. It was the Tamarack Institute, and I believe they're in Mississauga, Toronto, and they're all about looking at, they look at it more from a municipal level, so building, you know, those communities. I went a little differently, as far as, you know, online communities, work communities, communities within your organization, what have you. But somebody that I was sitting at the table with, who's one of the Tamarack facilitators, and I'm sorry, but her name escapes me right now. She talked about the difference between a worm's eye view and a bird's eye view.
Ah.
I know. And I was like, I'm taking that just so we're, and the cool thing about that is that when you are a business owner, when you are looking at creating content and strategy and communications, first of all, that's not your job. Unless you are doing what, you know, Karen and I and lots of other people in communications are doing, forgive yourself that it's not your job. It's not your skill set. It's not supposed to be. That's not why you went into business. And when you are knee deep or at worm level, you don't have the capacity necessarily to address marketing and communications effectively or at all, potentially. And that's where having somebody come in, and this is not a sales pitch, it's not a whatever, but I've talked to so many business owners that beat the hell out of themselves because they haven't been doing marketing and communications and social media and whatever. And I'm like, you know what? You need to stop. It's not what you're here to do. It's okay that you haven't been doing this. It's understandable you haven't been doing this because that's not why you're in business.
Yeah.
And when you're running around like the chicken before with the ass on fire, it's that ends up down the priority list. And that's so normal. It's so typical. And that's what somebody who does this for a living can provide. They can sort of take you a little bit off the worm and bring you up to the bird's eye view to see what you can do. And, you know, dispel those myths and get rid of those pain points and get rid of the fears and really help you see your content or your company and your ability to create in a whole new way. And we're just awesome and nice people and we're fun and we swear a little bit. So
we're real.
We'll empower you.
Well, what is it? Like sister of the ya-ya pants? I put together.
Sorry, snort. Yeah. Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood and the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. Mashup.
Mashup. I can't get my movies straight, apparently.
It's all good in the hood. It just means I watched too much. I actually watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2 last night.
No.
Man. Kurt Russell, sexy as all hell. Still think he's the bee's knees. Last night, I was like, why are you in this movie? Like, you just, so disappointed. Anyway. We'll end on that Marvel reference because it's my podcast and that's what I do. But if you'd like to learn more about Karen and her business, and I'm going to get you to pronounce your last name again.
Oh, I think I forgot to mention there's two ways. Should I go both ways?
You do you.
Okay. So because obviously that's like, you know, the million-dollar question. So my husband, he's half Ukrainian. So if you want the actual way to pronounce it, it's pronounced Svisht. So it's like SV and then a soft ch at the end. Or you'd be like my mom, who I love her to death, and she just says swish. Like swoosh, swish. Like a Nike, swoosh, swish. But
I'll remember that though.
Basically, we've been telling everybody, we made up, or his baba, his grandmother made up a pronunciation, Swizik. So even though I guess phonetically looking at it, you wouldn't get that, but
I would go Swizik.
Work. Yeah, or Swizik, sure, whatever. Yeah, that's what I tell people, basically. Karen Swizik.
You could just add a vowel and make it easier for everybody.
Yeah, I can add a vowel.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I might change the Y to an I.
It's in between all the C's and Z's and S's. And Z's. You need to add something there. So if you are interested in learning more about Karen and her business and what she can teach you, and if you want to start making the bacon, then you can visit www.makin, with no E, M-A-K-I-N, thebacon.com. Her blog's on there, her About Me's on there, and she's got some fabulous photos that I'm seriously jealous of, so you can see what she looks like and get taken in by her charming little smile. And you can check her out. Where are you on Twitter? I found you. At Making the Bacon.
One.
Making the Bacon One.
Because Making the Bacon was taken. I mean, not to rhyme, but literally it was taken. You know, the person is non-active on their account, and I messaged them, and no response.
So shout out to whoever's owning Making the Bacon. Somebody wants to use that. And then Instagram is Making the Bacon One as well.
Yes.
So check her out. Go and see her. She's really nice and she's funny and she laughs.
Aww, and, thank you.
But you take teaching seriously.
Yeah.
It's the success of your clients seriously, which is really important.
Yeah, of course. Like you take it to heart, right? So you want them to succeed as well. It's like, I don't know, I guess, for that time, they're kind of like your kids. You want them to go off and into the world and, you know, do well.
Do well. Yeah. Don't get arrested. As a parent, that's one of your high on your list. Do not have the police bring you home more than once. Maybe twice. We'll see how that goes with my house anyway. And for me, my name's Elizabeth Plouffe. I think I forgot to introduce myself, which I tend to do. And this podcast is Across the Desk, where I interview small business owners, or I shouldn't say small, I'm taking that word out of my vocabulary, business owners from across Halton and the GTA. And I've got some international podcasts going on as well, so you can check out the Spark Cafe. There's a bunch. Or you can check out Spark Toronto. There's some amazing people on there too, from Belgium and England and all kinds of places. And you can visit me at www. You don't even have to say that anymore, but I do, because it just sounds nice. mcvcommunications.ca, because I'm a Canadian girl. And then mcvcoms on Twitter and mcvcommunications on Instagram. And come and visit us and see what we're up to. See what we're doing. Thank you very much for joining me, Karen. Karen
Thank
Swish.
You. It was a lot of fun.
You could do a hyphenated.
Out.
We could do
Swish.
Swish. That could be your exit.
Like Superman. Swoosh.
Stage left. She's gone. So thanks for joining us, everybody. We really appreciate you listening and watching. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a fantastic day. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Across the Desk. You can follow me on Twitter at mcvcoms, Instagram at mcvcommunications, or visit mcvcommunications.ca to see where else I'm hiding out.